This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome to another beautiful morning in Bradford on Saturday. I'm Igor, and with me is Master Gardener Bob Harris. And exciting news today, Bob.
Exciting news?
We're on Facebook Live.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
We'll see how long it takes for the internet to kick us off, but if you want to join us on Facebook Live, check out our WESB 107.5 Facebook page, and you could either get your questions in that way in the comments, or, of course, the phone lines are always open for you at 814-368-9372, and we have our email as well. If you'd like to send us some pictures over email, you can do that at garden@wesb.com. What is on the agenda today, Bob?
Okay, I want to talk about Mother's Day plants first.
That's a great topic, of course. Can't forget tomorrow.
Yep. And I want to help people out. Now, some of you know, but some of us need reminders. There's plenty of Mother's Day plants here in town, so don't worry about that. But the weather is not cooperating greatly.
I noticed.
Yeah, I guess we all have it. So just stating the obvious there, huh? Yeah. But that's no problem. We can still get that a Mother's Day potted plant, and in the evening, possibly bring it in or undercover where a possible frost or a lot of cold just won't affect it as much. So don't be afraid to get that Mother's Day plant. But I want to talk about that, and that's going to be mostly in containers, hanging baskets, pots, window box, whatever you like for your mother. So I'd like to talk about the care because it's extremely important, and I'm going to try to help you be more successful. Because the more successful you are, you know, the happier you're going to be too.
I need all the help I can get. So let's hear it.
So I'll explain a little bit about container plants. That's a whole different environment than planting in the ground. It's just totally different. So they make, to start out with, soil, four containers, potting soil, not garden soil, but potting soil, that's made just for containers. And what it does is it's a real light material, so you can handle the container easily, for one thing, because a lot of us like to do that, you know, through the season. We may want to move it out into the sun for a while and then into a shady spot where we can enjoy it more for some reason or another. So containers are very, very, very useful. I highly recommend them. But the soil's light, and because water will drain through it very quickly. And as water is draining through very quickly, it's also pulling air behind it. And I know I might bore people with this, but I have to stress it all the time that air is extremely important. Plants need air as much as they need water. So that air is real important. And that light mix has a lot of big particles in it, but it does have small particles in it too. And those small particles are the ones that are real important. Those big particles help with the drainage and the air so you don't waterlog your plant. But those small particles are the ones that are going to hold the moisture longer and hold fertilizer longer. You know, that's always been a mystery to me. You know, you read the package of a container plant soil, potting soil, and it says drains better and holds moisture longer. You know, it just seems like it's two opposite things. You know, how can one thing do two totally separate things?
Either one, you want it wet or not.
Yeah.
Pick
yeah.
one.
But it has been devised so it can do both of those things. Remembering that it drains well and holds water longer, because 99% of most problems that occur with container plants and even plants in the ground is over water. Most people do it, even us guys that have been doing it for a long time still do it from time to time, because we a lot of different reasons, but mostly because we've bought a plant, you know, spent money on it. We want to make sure it survives. So sometimes we overcare a little bit.
Right.
Just like we do ourselves there.
Now, I remember we hit this last week a touch as well. So we did talk about.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
But I really want to remind people of some of this stuff because it's important for them, Mother Day containers.
It could either make or break your success.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do we want to take a Facebook message here?
Yeah. Wendy says, good morning. Trying to amend my raised beds. How many 40-pound bags of compost will I need for a 4x8 raised bed with 2 inches deep?
With 2 inches deep? Oh, okay. Yeah, you want to get that up to at least, 8 to 10 inches deep, possibly a foot deep. So you're going to have to amend quite a bit. The normal rule is amending native soil is you want to have 50% of that area amended with the other products than the natural soil that's there. So if you have 2 inches of soil, you want to put down 2 inches of compost. But in her case, she's going to want to get it much, much deeper. So with that just 2 inches of soil, I would recommend she's...
You're going to have a lot to put in there.
Yeah, a lot to put in.
But, 4 foot by 8 foot. Holy smokes.
But that's okay. You don't have to do it all in one season. But you should know that, your bed is going to be a bit shallow, so plants are not going to perform to their utmost. But that's okay too. You don't have to have world record breaking tomato plants and squash plants every year. So I would add as much of that compost as you possibly can, and mixing it in layers. Don't go dump a foot of compost on and then try to rototill it. Put down 6 inches, then try to rototill it in so that virgin soil gets mixed in well, and then put some more in and then mix it in. And you can do it in stages, year after year, just keep adding. So I hope that answers Wendy's question.
So what, like 2 or 3? But I don't know. What's that convert? Put your mathematician hat on. How many 40-pound bags does that equal?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what she's really. For a 4x8, I'm going to say I'd start with 10.
Oh,
10 woo-hoo. Bags. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It's pretty hard to overdo it with amending the soil. I'd start with 10. If you can't, 6 or 8, it will be fine too.
Okay.
And anything you add is really going to be better than the native soil that's there.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Wendy, for commenting in your question on facebook.com/WESB1075. And we can continue on if you'd like. And I just want to give out the phone number real quick again, because our phone lines are always open. So that's 814-368-9372.
So that soil, I hate to keep talking about the soil a lot, but it's the most important part of a plant is what it's growing in the soil. So
back to the Mother's Day
plants. Yeah, those container plants. So be aware of your watering that Mother's Day plant too. It's a good idea when you first get it. It's probably going to be well watered, and note the weight of it. That's a good way to tell whether a container plant needs watered or not. Get used to the weight. And when it starts to feel lighter, then you know it's time to water, because you can't put it on a regular schedule. Plants don't really eat quite like us do, breakfast, lunch, and supper. They have different growth spurts. And of course, weather can change everything. On a cold, wet day like today, a plant may not absorb hardly any water. So that container will stay damp for a few days. But on a hot, sunny day, and if it's actively growing or flowering, it may suck up that water very quickly. So you may have to water once a day even. But usually with a brand new plant, there's plenty of soil in there. So we don't normally have to water once a day. Most brand new container plants are going to need watered around once a week. But check them every day just to get used to how fast or how slow they absorb that water, depending on the location that they are and the type of plant. Some plants drink more than other plants. Another big problem is their container plant. So, and they have man-made soil in them, which, by the way, there is no soil really in container soil. It's all added products.
Like, is it like fabric stuff or what?
No.
What exactly is it?
It's all natural materials like peat moss.
Okay.
Well, I said natural. Perlite, there'll be perlite in it. That's not natural, but
no idea
that helps. That's the little white balls you see.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's a man-made product, but it's essential for the mix there.
It's like a spacer, right, to get the oxygen through there.
It creates airspace.
Right.
There'll be maybe cocoa shells in it crushed up, maybe compost, maybe sawdust, old sawdust in it. So a lot of those natural products there, but no real soil. Soil is just ground up rock, really, is what that is.
Oh.
There will be a little bit in there, you know, like I said, those real fine particles. There will be some clay in your potting mix. What was the question with all that? Why am I talking about all that?
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, that's what you were wondering. Yeah.
Well, you said the dirt's important because it comes with that fake stuff.
Yeah.
Or not fake, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's right.
Not soil.
Yeah. Not soil. So fertilizing can be extremely important because there's really, when they make the soil mix, there's no fertility to it. Now, they do add fertilizer to it. They on the package it says. But that can only be good for a short time. Just because it says it has the fertilizer in it doesn't mean you don't have to fertilize. Most of that fertilizer that's in that container is going to be used up within a month. And possibly even in a shorter period than that, some real fast-growing plants, like a petunia. Petunias are constantly hungry, constantly thirsty, so they'll use up that fertilizer in that container real quickly. So within a few weeks, then, you've got to start fertilizing. But just about every container, after a few weeks of you watering it, it's time to think about a fertilizer program. And there are a couple ways to go about it, and it is handy to use the blue crystals. They just work really well in container plants with container soil. That's where you put a tablespoon or two tablespoons, whatever the directions say, into a gallon of water, mix it up, and water it into the plant. So you can do that once every third watering, or another way to go about it is do it half strength. Instead of 2 tablespoons per gallon, use 1 tablespoon per gallon, and you can do it just about every watering. Once in a while, you can go out there and just a good heavy watering with no fertilizer, but try to get on some kind of fertilizer regimen, because that is going to be the success or the failure of that container plant. Without that fertilizer, that plant is just going to stop growing, and you're not going to be happy. With fertilizer, it's going to continue to grow, continue to add new flowers, and then you'll be a happy camper.
Can you over-fertilize?
You can. It's difficult with some plants, but you can over-fertilize.
What happens? Does it like burn them up?
That's what they call it, burn them up. There's a technical...
I thought I heard that somewhere once, so that's...
Yeah, because there are what we call salts in the fertilizer. So they can desiccate or dry up the roots because of too many salts. So it's a good idea to combat against that after we fertilize for a few weeks. Then the next time we water, we just use plain water and use enough so that it floods the whole soil mixture.
Washes it away kind of a little bit.
Till it really runs out the bottom.
Yep.
So a real heavy watering every couple weeks to flush out those salts that the plant didn't use.
Okay. We have to take a break, and we'll come right back and talk more about Mother's Day plants.
Yeah, a little bit more.
A little bit more, and we'll take your calls, of course, if you have any question for Bob Harris, the Master Gardener. That's 814-368-9372. Back in a minute. No, I lied. Back in 30 seconds.
Okay.
Even better. B107.5 FM.
Remember all those outdoor projects you thought about all winter? It's time to get started on them with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. To get your lawn and garden in shape, you'll find a variety of mulches, soils, and fertilizers, plus shovels, rakes, wheelbarrows, tarps, and more. If painting is on your list, see Worth Smith for all kinds of quality paints and stains, brushes, rollers, and even scaffolding. Whatever you need for your springtime projects, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show on B107.5, 814-368-9372 if you have a question for Bob. And we are on Facebook Live this morning. That's facebook.com/WESB1075. Take it away, Bob.
Okay. Another thing with those Mother's Day containers, it really helps to know whether it's going to be placed in a sunny spot or a shady spot. There are some plants that prefer sun, some plants that prefer shade. Then there's a few plants that really don't care one way or the other. But again, since they are in containers, they could be moved very easily from one area to another. And as you first get that plant, you can take notice of it. If that plant is not performing well, I'm going to talk about a petunia, okay? It's one of the most popular plants.
Sure.
And that goes with the Calibacroa or the Million Bells plants. They look like miniature petunias. Both of those are going to react the same. So if you've got that hanging basket and you hung it up there and it doesn't seem, after a couple weeks, doesn't seem to be producing new flowers, then it's probably not getting enough sunlight if you've taken care of the water and fertilizer too. If it is producing new flowers, then it's probably in a good location, and then you should probably remain that location. But if it's not producing the new flowers and not showing any new growth, then possibly move it to a sunnier location. Now, I said there are some plants, though, that don't really care if it's sun or shade. So try to be aware of that, and that's going to be like begonias and coleus. There's a few others too.
Well, luckily a lot of these places put the tag right on there. So you know, if you have to leave it in the sun or the shade, or
I'm glad you brought that up, because that tag,
it really helps me.
Yeah. It's full of real good information.
Yeah.
And so, be sure you read that information and go buy it. Don't be afraid now to go out and get it. But first of all, be prepared to protect it. If we do get a cold night, those will end soon. Watch your watering very closely, and don't forget to fertilize. If you buy a container plant, it's probably a good idea to buy a small container of fertilizer too, so you don't forget, because that's critical. Those plants, because they are annuals and they flower a lot and grow quickly, that they're going to be hungry. So just plain water all the time is not going to be enough to keep that plant looking good. They got to be fertilized.
Good to know. Yeah, that's a good. Whenever you get the plant, get the fertilizer. It's just a one time, like one motion thing, you know?
Yeah.
Don't just get one without the other.
Even if it said in the soil mix or even on the tag that fertilizer has been incorporated, that's going to get used up quite quickly.
Very good.
Okay, so that covers container plants. So the next thing is we're going to start heading into planting in the ground. Now, it is a little bit early yet to plant in the ground. I know some people have, so they may be out there. They have to cover those plants up in the evening with a light sheet or some other material to protect them against some cold nights, depending on the area they're in. A lot of people are saying, you know, well, they're worried. They're getting their plants now because last year when they went there, they were all sold out.
Mm, yeah.
And yeah, that can happen. And that's possible again this year. We really don't know yet. But so if you are going to get those plants early, go ahead. But know that you got to protect them. If you're not going to plant them in the ground, you may want to bring them into a protected area. Be careful of the garage, because the garage can be full of fumes, gas and oil and paint and whatever else. So if that's kind of fumy in there, possibly you may have to bring them in right inside into the house. So just be aware of that. I've had big mistakes that way by keeping plants protected in the garage for a week, and then when I went to plant them, all of a sudden most of them are dead or dying.
Oh no!
Yeah, that can happen.
What about maybe just like the porch area? Even
the porch area can be, if it's a covered porch, yeah, you get a lot more protection just because of that roof. Yep. So be aware of that. Don't be afraid to risk a little bit there. Like I said, the sun will shine and we will get over these cold nights real soon. And then we can start planting out in the garden. So I hope that gives you some good advice there on that.
Well, it's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Like, where's the sun already? Come on. The sun will, like the song says, the sun will come up tomorrow.
But one thing.
No, it won't.
Yeah. One thing you can be doing, no matter what the weather, is you can be preparing those beds that you're going to put the vegetables and annuals and perennials in. And that's really.
So much of the work, just the preparation.
Is.
So, yeah.
So much of the work. And it's the most important part. I can't stress that enough about the soil preparation is probably the key to how success. That plant is going to perform.
Yep.
Sure, they may survive by just digging a hole out in the yard and you plunking it in there. But the more you do for that soil, the better off they're going to be. And now I know that you probably see a lot of information out there and they're telling you, well, don't amend that soil if you're going to plant a tree or a shrub or a perennial. I don't agree with any of that. And a lot of us don't. I still say, because our soil is a little different than other parts of the country. We have a clay-based soil, and plants really don't like that clay-based soil. Sure, the forest grows well, but there's other things going on there than in our yard. A lot of trees make a lot of leaf fall. A lot of leaf fall creates a lot of compost. So the forest is getting composted daily, every day. Our yard probably doesn't have all those trees. If it does, we probably don't have any lawn, and right. That's okay too.
Yeah.
So in our lawn area, yeah, when we remove that sod and then start to dig that hole, we've got to amend that soil to give that plant a running start in life. So don't be sold on those programs where they tell you don't amend the soil. You're better off putting the plant in virgin soil. Sure, that works in certain parts of the country, but not right here in Bradford. Unless there's exceptions to every rule. Unless you're living in some of the lower lying areas where the soil is deeper. But if you're up on a hillside or on top of a hill, you probably have very, very shallow soil. Like in my yard, it's probably only 2 inches deep. Now that 2 inches is not enough to grow a successful plant. Yeah, plant will survive there, but not thrive there. So up on the hills here, anywhere high elevation, you probably have to amend the soil. You get in a lower section, I'm going to just mention one area like along Langmaid Lane. That's a very low area. I think probably the river at one time, thousands of years ago, ran through there.
Oh, sure.
The soil is almost 3 foot deep in there. So it's a great, great gardening place. Matter of fact, that's a lot of years ago when Bradford was first getting developed. There was a whole town orchard in that area, because plants just grew well because of the deep soil, just like along the Mississippi River Basin or out in Egypt. You know how they always get the flood every year, and of course the soil is very deep, and so they grow great crops there along the river.
Mm.
Same thing here. So any of us that live in the higher elevations, though, it's a good idea to amend the soil to help that plant get a good start.
All right. Very good. We have about 5 minutes left on the gardening show today, so don't wait too long to get your phone calls in if you have a question for the Master Gardener, Bob Harris, 814-368-9372, or you can message us on Facebook Live. It's facebook.com/WESB1075, or send us an email to garden@WESB.com.
Okay, I just want to make a little reminder, because this is important, because I want people to succeed with those Mother's Day plant, or if you're just getting one for yourself because you like a potted plant or a hanging plant. I do. As a matter of fact, even though I have a nice little space that I can plant in the ground, I still like container plants because I can put them right on the deck, or enjoy them for a while. If that's not enough sun, then I can move them out in the yard where they'll get sun and perk back up, and then I can move them back. You know, container plants are great that way. Or for a lot of those people that just don't have a plot of land, or possibly renters that aren't allowed to dig a garden, container plants can be extremely important. And there are plants that you can put in a container for every location, the sun, the shade, anywhere that you may have. So you're probably going to have to read those labels or ask questions. Both the greenhouses here in town are full of very knowledgeable people, so don't be afraid to ask questions. What plant should I have? Maybe even bring along a picture on your cell phone or, mm-hmm. or a photograph, the old-fashioned photograph, you know. You can bring one of those in, show them the location. Maybe even try to get information of, is it south-facing or north-facing? You know, all those little clues can be important so that they can get you the right plant so that you can be successful.
Sounds good. Now, I have a question.
Yeah.
If you would indulge me. My wife would like to have plants to attract and flowers for hummingbirds.
Okay.
Is there a way to do that without getting bees along with them? Because it seems like whenever we try to get hummingbirds around, we have bees too.
Bees, yeah. Yeah, that's near impossible to do. There are a lot of plants out there that hummingbirds prefer.
And like what?
Like the petunia. That's probably number one, because it has that long funnel-like shaped flower.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very difficult for bees to get in there to get the nectar and pollen, but they will come and try. So so it is going to attract them. One of my favorites is the hosta. They have a real trombone-like looking flower on them that only the hummingbird can get into. But believe me, bees still will come to that flower and try to get in there. And so it's near impossible to attract just hummingbirds and not bees.
I think my memory, you know, from this was like 6 years ago, we tried this. And I think it was mostly because of we got a cheap feeder and put the nectar in.
Okay.
And maybe it was dripping too much or something, but it just attracted so many bees.
It did, yeah. So you have to be careful with that. Get a good hummingbird feeder. If it does drip, then go out there once in a while with your watering can and water that area to flush all that sugar out of there, and you'll be a lot better off. But, you know, when a bee is concentrating on going flower to flower, it really don't give a darn about you. That's when they're safest. Now, if you tried to touch it or something, yeah, it may sting. But
it's not so much for us. It's for the dogs, because they always try to bite them. Darn dogs, what are you doing biting those bees?
Well, normally, after a dog gets stung once or twice, it learns. Come on, what's wrong with your dog?
They haven't been stung yet, obviously.
Okay.
Any closing thoughts? We have about a half minute left here.
Yeah. Pay attention to that tag, because it has a lot of information on it. Ask questions so you can be successful. You know, it's not just hang it up there and water it every day. It'll last for a while. We want you to be successful. We want you to have the best looking hanging basket or potted plant you've ever had. So don't forget to fertilize, water it correctly. Don't drown it every day just because it's a sunny day. If it's not performing, move it into the sun. If it looks like it's wilting even after a watering, maybe it's too much sun. Move it into a shadier area.
All right. And if we do it all perfectly correct, how long will these last?
Oh, right up to the frost.
To the frost.
Yeah. We have a long, long growing season.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Well, there you have it. Master Gardener Bob Harris, thanks so much for coming in, and we'll see you next week right here on B107.5.